The halftime team talk is the making or the breaking of good, bad and indeed indifferent managers. A manager with a reasonable level of intelligence, one who makes a pretty good fist of masking his undoubted self-doubt, can handle virtually everything else a big match can throw at him. His pre-match pep talk, his tactics, and all the tiny details that convey the impression of a manager in control. But the halftime team talk is an altogether different beast. In the days after the game, it will assume an importance out of all proportion to its actual status. It is in fact a catharsis waiting to happen. If the team wins, the few words said by the manager at half-time will go down in history as a key factor, a myth all managers are happy to propagate with a series of falsely modest shrugs of the shoulder. "Ah, sure, it's all about the lads," he'll say. "All I'll do is pull the strings." When in reality, he is fully of the view that all credit for the team's success can be placed firmly at his door. If the team loses, however, the fallout can be vicious. Every manager lives in fear of his men building up a good lead in the first half. Players and supporters might be openly delirious at carrying a 5-point cushion into the break, perhaps even after playing against the breeze. But these are optimum conditions for a manager's fall from grace in the second half. And so he hits it. This state of affairs also unhinges the traditional half-time approach, namely the full-scale blinding, where he insults them, questions their lineage, casts doubts upon their pedigree, and raises the kind of questions about manhood that can cause young men great social discomfort in a small town or a large county. The passage of time has done nothing to diminish the popularity of this tack, despite what some might see, wrongly I hasten to add, as its heavy Neanderthal overtones. The manager will select individual players for special mention. A hurler from the football end of the county will be told, through frothing lips, "I don't care where ye put the goals up your way, but down here they're located at either end of the pitch. So like a good lad, you might consider concentrating your efforts in that direction in the second half." A skills-challenged player who tried and failed to carry out a notably tricky manoeuvre in the first half, bringing to mind a circus contortionist, would be told in no uncertain terms to "keep it simple, lad, you're no DJ Carey." Amazingly, the manager will always have a young fella here on the line dying to get in there, conveniently ignoring the fact that said young fellow was taken off at half-time in the last encounter and was also then advised to take up another sport that would better reward his ungainly style. Another proven half-time strategy is to link the team's performance to some topical issue of the day. A good manager will keep an eye on the news, knowing he can insinuate world events of the day into his half-time team talk. It might not always be politically correct. In fact, it will rarely be politically correct. But he has great faith in a winning analogy. And so he'll casually liken his team's imminent denies to, say, a recent ferry disaster, and ask his men who among them is prepared to bail out water. Famines, earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, nothing is beyond the pale for a desperate manager. Who will bail out water? And who will bail out the manager?